Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Corinbong, September 26, 1897. Portions of this letter are published in EV 646. Dear Edson and Emma, I wish to speak of the book Christian Temperance. Dr. Kellogg writes me that some chapters were placed in Emily Campbell's hands to copy, and that when these come in, they can go right ahead with the book. Willie sent me several chapters, saying that if they were not correct, to telegraph. In the place of telegraphing, I wrote to him. He said they would not wait for a letter, but I sent a letter correcting one point, a half-justification of drug medication, which I could not conscientiously put in the book now. Matters have been laid open before me in reference to the use of drugs. Many have been treated with drugs, and the result has been death. Experimenting in drugs is a very expensive business. Paralysis of the brain and the tongue is often the result, and the victims die an unnatural death when, if they had been treated perseveringly, with unwearied, unrelaxed diligence, with cold and hot water, hot compresses, packs, dripping sheet, they would be alive today. I want to say that with the exception of a few sentences in the manuscript favoring drug medication, the articles were accepted. I wrote this long ago, and now the doctor writes of chapters given to Emily Campbell to copy. This is hindering the book. Why should this be so? Please find out what it all means. Willie did not tell me to send back the chapters he sent me, for he said that before a letter could reach him, the book would be completed. Will you find out why the book hangs? Why does it not appear? We need this book here very much, and I am disappointed. Willie has not mentioned the matter since he wrote. I cannot account for these mysteries, which mean delay. I do not desire this book, Christian Education, to come out in little driblets. This does not answer my purpose. I want to handle the book myself, and I want every jot and tittle of means that I can obtain to invest in this field. I am handicapped in every way, but will try not to worry if means are taken from me, as in the case of Healdsburg. $1,500 was used to settle a mortgage on my home and in Brother Leininger's home, or else he would have been left homeless. $1,500 was used in the Walling case, and $1,000 was owed me by Mrs. Scott. It was thought that she might make trouble in regard to the gift she made the school, and that if I settled the debt by taking shares in the Healdsburg school, it might keep her quiet. This I agreed to do, and the matter is now settled. But will my friends in California allow me to bear this loss without any return? My donations must be given to this country. We are on missionary soil, and the want of means to carry the work into new territories is a grief to my soul. I want to advance the work, and I must do this. I cannot possibly feel at rest. The end of all things is at hand, and we have no time to delay. Light must go forth as a lamp that burneth. A great work is to be done, and the king's business requireth haste. Night after night in my dreams, I am making efforts to arouse the people by saying, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1. A great work is to be done. We have no time to lose. I have carried great burdens since Willie left us, and I suppose he is now upon the broad waters. Our prayer is that our God, who never slumbers or sleeps, will preserve him and those that accompany him. May Lacey White and all the family are well. The twin boys, James Henry and Herbert, have clear white skins, and their cheeks are as red as a rose. They have high times together amusing one another. Where one is, the other is sure to be. When we ride out to get oranges and lemons, 6 miles, we take the boys with us. They enjoy riding and frequently sleep most of the way. When we go to Morissette Station, 4 miles, making 8 miles there and back, we take them with us. They are sturdy, healthy boys, full of fun and frolic. I am pleased that Willie will have a home when he returns. The house is furnished with a large cistern and 2 water tanks, which supply the house with water through pipes. We have had no rain this month, and we were glad because of the church building, which was sealed within before the weatherboarding was put on. A driving rain on the weather side would have wet the ceiling and damaged it. The rain came. For 3 days we had showers, but there was no wind. The rain came straight from the heavens, and as the building was roofed, it received no harm. I was thankful to the Lord for the rain. Our trees and garden and orchard needed it. The Lord gave us the rain in gentle showers and heavy downpours, but straight. We no longer felt a burden of prayer for God to withhold the storm until the church was sided up. The siding on the church goes in tomorrow, and in 2 weeks the building will be completed. It would have been done in 2 weeks from the time the first work was done on the building if our brethren had moved by faith. The hand of the Lord was with the builders, and calculation was made for the lumber to come by boat, leaving a week between the loads. They did not think it possible to advance so well with the work in 1 week's time as the 14 carpenters did. The workers were all filled with enthusiasm, and the Lord's angels were present. We have the very best carpenters we could obtain. Oh, how glad I am that we shall now have a meeting house. I felt condemned when we met in the large open room above the sawmill. The room was filled with the school furniture and a mass of rubbish. But the worst was, we were filling our new house with bedbugs. We could see them crawling on the outside garments of the people. I felt that I could scarcely ask the blessing of the Lord in such a place. Since the opening of the school, we have occupied a neat room above the dining room. Oh, how pleased we were with this improvement, although it was only enclosed, unsealed, and unplastered. But in 1 or 2 weeks, we shall have a good meeting house. Everything has moved like a charm. The people have done nobly. They have shown what can be done if workmen will do their best. Those who are fully acquainted with the slow, monotonous movements of the manner of work in this country declared that the work could not be done. For 10 days the lumber was delayed, and we had to dismiss the workmen. But the boat came at last. I wish to understand this matter, and I do, for light was given. When the contract was made, 2 boats should have been employed instead of 1. The unbelief continually reiterated, "It cannot be done, it cannot be done," made its impression on minds. There was a sprinkling of unbelief in the minds of those who should have had faith. Therefore, the human agencies did not do everything that it was possible for them to do, leaving the Lord to do that which they could not accomplish. Our ears must always be open to hear the voice of God. Our hearts must be ready to obey His word without stopping to reason how it can be. The Lord knows how it can be. This will teach us a lesson. When the Lord said, "Arise and build a house for the Lord, and that without delay," we must obey. And when in His providence, workmen were ready in this very place to take up the work and go on with it, every soul should have been prepared to do his part. Then the house would have been done, and would have stood as an object lesson. The boat should have been secured, and the lumber brought onto the ground. Every stick of timber should have been brought, before it was supposed to be needed. In waiting, a mistake was made. In obeying the word given, "Let there be no delay," they would have been following the directions of the Lord. There was delay on the part of the human agencies, not divine power. The Lord inspired the workmen, and everything went forward like clockwork, until they came to the deficiency caused by our lack of faith at the idea of finishing the building in so short a time. This has prevented the work from being done. When men work interestedly and with fidelity, there will be expedition. The Lord would have all in His service educate themselves to do this. Whether it is to till the soil, to fell trees, to clear the land, plant trees, sow the seed, or garner the harvest, the command is given, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Time is golden, and the Lord is not pleased with indolence and negligence in anyone. "Ye are bought with a price," He said. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. All who will seek to be faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. We need to learn our duty, which is clearly defined in the Word of God. The Lord is not pleased to have His work poorly and cheaply done, or to have it dragged along as though it were a wearisome task. We have no time to squander in dilatory, unwilling movements. The interest we should take in everything that we do will make our work interesting and educating. We are to constantly improve in the thought and word and action. Oh, if we would only individually be determined that the Lord shall not say of us, "Thou wicked and slothful servant," take the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. Matthew 25, verse 26, 28. Why are we not more faithful in our service in every line? Why do we not make everything of our present opportunities and privileges? We must heed the words, "Improve until I come." Luke 19, verse 13. In view of this coming, there must be vigilant working combined with prayerful waiting and watching, lest the day of the Lord come upon us as a thief in the night. I would not urge you to come to Australia, yet if the Lord says come, we shall be most pleased to receive you. I want you, my son, to look to your captain for your orders. He will never mislead you. Trust him. Your faith will increase by exercise. Take every matter, small or great, to the Lord in prayer. What riches of grace he has for all who will appreciate their value. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is considered a great favor and honor to stand in the presence of an earthly king, and to see his face, which means to be in favor with him. But all who love and serve God will be favored by him. The King of Righteousness admits the contrite and humble soul into his audience chamber, where they can converse with him. The throne of his grace is laid open, and may be approached by all who are meek and lowly in heart. The Prince of Light and Righteousness says of all such, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Luke 15, verse 31. To be blessed, to see God, means that we shall always abide in his love.